In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Pharisees' words are not wrong in and of themselves. It is good to thank God. It is good to refrain from evil. It is good to fast, and it is good to pray. I pray that we all are blameless and pious outwardly like he is. But he wrongly deduced that since he did good and refrained from evil, that somehow he was right before God. He has not compared his heart with the extortioner, the unjust, the adulterer, even with that tax collector, but he has only compared the outward action. The outward action does not define an individual before God. For the Lord judges the heart. So the heart and the heart alone defines an individual before God. And that is what the tax collector did. He looked at the heart. We assume that he was a cheat, that he stole, that he was greedy, materialistic, a traitor to God and to Israel itself, because he worked for those Romans. But the text doesn't say anything about that. We are making some assumptions, which may or may not be fair. Maybe, like Zacchaeus, he had already made restitution fourfold for his crimes. Maybe he had given half of his possessions to the poor. Or maybe he was one of the good ones that was filled with integrity and honesty and never stole from anyone. Finally, all of that is irrelevant. Unlike the Pharisee, this tax collector makes no mention of any work that he has ever done or failed to do, because he is looking at the heart. He is a sinner. And he believes that no action on his part can ever change the fact that he is a sinner. The Pharisee thinks that his works make him a good person. He thinks that he has done some things which are kind and good and merit something before God. But the tax collector knows that he is a sinner, and no work on his part will ever change that. So what does it mean to be a sinner? Most will say something along the lines of, well, a sinner is someone who commits sins. And while that is true, sins are really the result of being a sinner. They do not define the sinner. Sins do not make you a sinner any more than someone providing for my children makes them their father. So what you do does not make you what you are. So again, I ask, what is a sinner? Finally, a sinner is an enemy of God. It hates God, wants nothing to do with God. And this is what you were by nature. By God's grace, you are not only a sinner, for you have been washed in the waters of holy baptism, even as Jonah was this morning. Your sinful nature no longer controls you. You are a saint in God's kingdom, a child of God, an heir of heaven. But you still have this sinful flesh. So learn this saying well. You are at the same time a saint and a sinner. So you are not only a sinner, but you still must know what it is so that you can fight against it. For that sinful nature never gets better. It never improves. It never reforms. It never changes its mind. It remains God's enemy until the very day you die. And so it seeks to always fight against God until the very day that you die. And that is what you were by nature. That is still what dwells within you. So we call it sin, but sin is nothing more than rebellion against God. It's fighting against God, trying to take the glory and honor that belongs to God alone and apply it to myself. It doesn't matter which commandment you pick. All of them break the first commandment: you shall have no other gods. For every sin is an attack on our triune God. So the sinful nature is not indifferent toward God. It is not somehow born neutral or innocent. It is born wicked and evil. It is not simply lovelessness or a lack of love toward God, but the sinful nature hates God. It is enmity toward God, and it wants to kill God. for that is what an enemy wants to do. So we thank God that we were not alive back in the day of Jesus, for we too probably would have shouted for his crucifixion, or at the very least we would have fled with those disciples. Our flesh hates Christ. It wants to dethrone him, rob him of his glory. In our day and age, this does not happen with swords, clubs, or spears, but it happens through false teaching. We turn Christ, or our sinful flesh wants to turn Christ into nothing more than a historical figure. Or perhaps maybe a great prophet, one among many that we should listen to and follow to improve our life. Or perhaps it will even go so far as to say, yes, Jesus died for you, but now you must decide for him. You must now do something to show yourself worthy of his love and of his sacrifice. And so it fights against God. It attacks God by attacking the gospel. It tries to kill God by restricting God's work to only the past, so that my decision for Christ, so that my acceptance of God, so that my works of love might now shine in the present. We rightly say that false teaching comes from the devil. But do not underestimate the role that your own fallen flesh plays in this. It wants nothing to do with God, and it will do whatever it can to exalt itself at the expense of Christ. For our fallen flesh truly believes that it can make it to heaven apart from him. So if you think that you are better than those Jews who shouted crucify, if you think that you are better than Caiaphas who condemned him, if you think that you are not as bad as Judas who betrayed him, if you think you are not as bad as the Pharisee or as Cain, then Jesus is speaking this parable to you, you who trust in your own self. Learn this teaching well. There is no difference between Judas, Caiaphas, the Jews, the Pharisee, or Cain. There is no difference between any man who has ever lived. All have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God. The Pharisee's sinful heart is the same as your heart. Cain's sinful heart is the same as yours. We were not a little less sinful than others. We are all children of Adam equally. We have all received this sinful nature equally from our fathers, who received it from their father, and back it goes to Adam. So the sins that men commit should never surprise us. We need only look at our own heart. The sins that man has committed in history should never shock us. For we have been taught by the Word of God just how deeply rooted sin is in man. We should never be astonished at man's wickedness. For if we are, then we are claiming to not know what God says about man's nature. And yet we should recognize that we are no different than anyone else who has ever lived. As the saying goes, there but for the grace of God, I go. We're no different. If we had supreme power as a king or a queen, if we were above the law, if we could do whatever we want without restrictions, if we had tremendous wealth, if we lived in that time and in that place, we blush to think of what we would have done. Were it not for the grace of God, that would be us. So history does not simply reveal, among many things, man's wickedness, but it reveals the wicked potential within me. We should read history's failures with Scripture in mind and watch the news to learn about our own fallen self. The same heart dwells in me, the same depravity resides in me, the same horrific, ghastly, abominable mind is also my fallen mind. That is viewing the world through the lens of the Scriptures. That is believing the Word of God and what He says about you. And so you must rule over it. You must rule over this flesh, lest it gains the upper hand and destroys you. Outwardly, you must also improve your life. If you curse like a sailor, you must stop. If you are greedy, then you must learn selflessness. If you are working only to make money, you must learn to serve others. If you are constantly grumbling and complaining, you must stop. If you are constantly getting angry at other drivers or when things don't happen when you want, you must learn patience. But improvement in your life does not mean that your sinful nature is gone and that somehow God is now pleased with you. The Pharisees' fate reveals that much to us. Works cannot change what we are. Remember, we are at the same time a saint and a sinner. And so everything we do as a saint and as a sinner. Can you be perfect for 1 second of one day? If you answer yes, then again, you have not learned what Jesus is teaching. Because then for that 1 second, you would not need Christ's death to save you. You would not need his blood to cover you. You would not need his forgiveness to grant you access into heaven. Jesus would be only a partial savior, and you would have filled in all the other gaps. Dear friends, all that we do is touched by sin. You may not see it, but God does, and he is the judge. So Christ must save you from every single word you have ever said. Christ must save you from every single action you have ever done. Christ must save you from every single thought that has ever bounced around in your head. Because every word, every thought, and every action is tarnished with sin. You may not see it, but again, you are not the judge, God is. His blood must cover over you. And if he forgets even one simple thought, then you are lost eternally. And so the tax collector forgets everything that he has ever done, both bad and good. And he simply confesses what he is, a sinner. He needs a sacrifice. Blood must cover him, and it does. Not the blood of an animal, but the blood of Christ covers him by faith, even as that same blood covers you. The sacrifice has been made. Yes, it has paid for every single sin you have ever done, but that sacrifice also covers you who are a sinner. No work can make up for your many sins, for every work that you do is still tainted with sin. But Christ alone is enough, for he alone is perfect before God. His blood alone satisfies God's anger. His blood alone stands before God in heaven as a testimony that a sacrifice has been made to cover you. And it stands before you in this font and on this altar, again as a testimony to you that a sacrifice has been made to save you from yourself. This place, then, is a house for sinners, even as heaven is a home for sinners. It is not good people who go to heaven, but it is sinners who go to heaven. But not every sinner. Only those who believe in Christ. We weren't less evil than others. We weren't more likely to believe than others. There is no difference. All have sinned. Thus it is by grace that you are here. Thus it is by faith that you are saved. You cannot become more or less justified before God. You cannot become more or less forgiven. This is not a spectrum. It is simply an act of God, a declaration of forgiveness, not built upon any work that you have ever done, but built solely upon the work of Jesus. The foundation for your status before God as a child, an heir of heaven, is the blood of Christ offered on Calvary. So either you are justified or you are not. And you are, because of the work that Christ has done for you. And so the flesh can no longer condemn you. The flesh no longer defines you. Christ defines you. His blood covers you. Yes, you remain a sinner. But you are a sinner redeemed by Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.